but the whole passage today we're going to look at, verses 1 through 8 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. Not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So today we're going to learn about a building of God. A building of God. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your precious and powerful word. Use it in our hearts now to teach us and, Lord, encourage us about what awaits us. Those of us that are born again Christians. And Lord, if there's anyone who's not, may they realize today they can be saved through the blood of Jesus Christ, and may they come to Christ today. I pray, Lord, that this encouragement would motivate us to serve you, as we talked in Sunday school, to be faithful and obedient to your commands. So, Lord, have your will and way in hearts. Guide us in your truth. May Jesus be lifted up, in whose name we pray. Amen. Some great truths in this passage about what awaits us. Amen. And the first thing we see is that this building that he talks about, he's referring to our new body. He says there in verse 1 that it's eternal. Notice he says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, talking about our earthly body, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. This building that awaits us, this new body, is eternal. Hallelujah. And you know, this is not a new concept in the New Testament. Old Testament saints even knew about this, even though at the time they didn't have scripture. They knew this from the Lord directly, passed down from Adam and others. If you go to Job 19, I'll show you an example. Job being the oldest book in the Bible, so Job would have written and known these things prior to there even being an Old Testament. And yet he understood that we have this building of God waiting for us in heaven. Notice Job 19, verse 25, if you would. Job 19 and verse 25. And look what Job had to say. Way back 1,500 years before Christ, he said, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. So there he's talking about seeing God in the flesh. He says, even though after the skin worms have destroyed this current body, I'm going to see God in another body, in my flesh. So even Job understood. And then David in Psalm 17, if you want to turn there, David understood this as well. And again, this would have been about 1,000 years before Christ here in Psalm 17 and verse 15. Now, David would have had the Old Testament, but he didn't have all the promises that we have of the New Testament. And yet, look what he says, Psalm 17, 15. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. So even David understood that one day he would get a new body in the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. A perfect body with, as we'll see, without all the issues of the one we have down here. And if you go to Philippians 3:21, we'll see it again in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul telling us about this new body that we receive, this new building of God. Philippians chapter 3, verse 21. And look what he says. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So we get a new building, a new body, and it is eternal. Hallelujah. Not only that, but if you go back to our passage in 2 Corinthians 5, the Bible says that we're to be looking forward to this. It's part of our hope. It's part of the faith to expect to be with Jesus in a new body. Notice he says, verse 2, "In this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked." God says we're to be groaning for it. We're to be wanting it. When John wrote the book of Revelation, right at the end, he said, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." The Apostle Paul, before he left, he said, "Honestly, I'd rather go to heaven. But I need to stay and help the churches as long as God has me to." They looked forward to the day when they could be with Jesus. We are to do the same. Look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 22, please. And we're told here in this passage that we are to expect it. We're to look forward to it. We're to know that it's real, that we will get a new body and we will see Jesus in our new bodies. Notice Romans chapter 8 and verse 22. He says, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body." If you're a born-again Christian today, you're redeemed, amen, by the blood of Jesus Christ. But that's just your soul and your spirit. Your body hasn't been redeemed yet. It has doctrinally in God's mind, and it's a done deal for God in the future, but it's not real right now, is it? We're still in this old body that breaks down, that leads us astray. And God says, we groan, that we look forward to this new body that we will receive when we get to heaven to be with Jesus. Back to our passage, not only is it eternal, we're to look for it, but verse 4, he says, "We that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life." This new body, this mortality, gets swallowed up. And that means that everything connected to our mortality goes away. Things like pain, hallelujah. Things like physical suffering. Things like physical death, all gone when we get to be with the Lord and get our new body. Go to 1 Corinthians 15 and we'll see this in verse 53. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 53. God says here in this passage, "This corruptible must put on incorruption." So he's talking about this body is going to be replaced. "This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." We're told in 1 Corinthians 15, 26, "The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death." And then look, if you would, at Revelation 21, 4. Probably the most beautiful verse talking about our body in heaven, Revelation 21, 4. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Isn't it good how God left the pain as the last one there? But he says, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more death, no more pain. This new body is eternal. It's a body that we're to be looking forward to, that we get to be with Jesus. And this body is immortal and doesn't have all the problems that our mortal body currently possesses. Hallelujah. Well, moving on, verse 5 of our passage, 2 Corinthians, it says, "Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing as God, who hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit." Now that word earnest means promise. God has given us the earnest of the Spirit. What does he mean by that? If you're born again today, you have the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? The Bible says in Romans 8, 9, "If any man have not the Spirit of God, he's none of his." If you don't have the Spirit of God, you're not saved. And if you do have the Spirit of God, you have been baptized into the body of Christ by the Spirit of God, and he has moved in. You are his temple. And that part of his mission, if you will, and he does a lot of things for Christians, is he is the down payment or the promise of the future. That God's not finished with us. That yes, we're still in this old body, our soul and our spirit are redeemed, we're on our way to heaven, but we have God the Holy Ghost indwelling us. And God refers to him as the earnest of the Spirit. Look at Ephesians 1:14, if you would. And what he means by that is God, when we got saved, he gave us the Holy Spirit as a way of saying, "I am going to give you a new body someday. I'm going to take you to heaven someday, either by death or by the rapture. And this is my promise. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit." And the Bible says, Ephesians 4:30, that we are sealed unto the day of redemption. The day that he moved in, he came to stay until your body is redeemed. Notice Ephesians 1:14, "which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession." Isn't that good? He is that earnest. He is that promise of the final redemption of our body until the redemption of the purchased possession, until our body is redeemed and renewed. Hallelujah. And so we see that this building of God that we read about in this passage is eternal. We're to be looking forward to it. It has no death, no pain, no sorrow, no crying. And God has given us the Holy Spirit as our promise that all of this will happen. Verse 6 of our passage. "Therefore," he says, "we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight." No one in this room has met God face to face, but we believe in him. No one's met Jesus face to face, but we believe in him. We're even told in 1 Peter 1:8, we've not seen him. We haven't seen heaven, but we know it's real. Why? Because our Creator wrote it down. Amen? And gave it to us. And we believed the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the day we did, the Holy Spirit moved in and said, "Now I want you to live a life of walking by faith, not by sight." See, this was the Israelites' problem, wasn't it? God delivered them from Egypt. After 400 years, they miraculously crossed the Red Sea. But every time a problem came, what did they do but complain? Get angry at God. Blame God. Look what God's doing. God hates us. God brought us out here to kill us. And then God would work a miracle. Oh, God is wonderful. God is great. They were walking 100% by sight. As long as God would work a miracle, then they believed in him. And as soon as there wasn't a miracle, and as soon as there was some sort of a trial or need, then they didn't believe in God anymore. A lot of Christians run their Christian lives that way, by the way. You know, as long as I'm healthy and as long as I have money in the bank, God loves me. But as soon as I enter a trial, oh, God doesn't love me anymore. Nothing could be further from the truth. We are to walk by faith, amen, not by sight. We are to know that heaven is real, God is real, salvation is real, and our new body is real. And to know that no matter what life throws at us, no matter what God allows in our lives on this earth, it is real. We are to walk by faith, not by sight. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 quickly, if you would, verse 18. And God here explains. He tells us in Hebrews 11:1, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." If we could see it, it wouldn't be faith anymore. If God opened up the skies and said, "This is what heaven looks like," then there wouldn't be any faith needed, would there? And if Jesus came down and started walking around and interacting with everybody again, no faith required. But we're to walk by faith. Notice 2 Corinthians 4:8. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The things that we see, everything that we can see and touch, is temporary, temporal. It's all going to burn up, even our bodies. But the things which we can't see, heaven, God, those are eternal. And those are the things that God wants us to see by faith. We are to walk by faith. So this building of God, this beautiful building that we receive, which is like the body of Jesus Christ, like we read there in Philippians 3, is eternal in the heavens. Hallelujah. We're to be expecting it. We're to be looking for it and living for it by faith, knowing that it has no pain, no sorrow, no more death, and that God has given us the Holy Spirit as a down payment. And then this beautiful verse, verse 8. Probably not a funeral that goes by, a Christian funeral that doesn't quote this verse. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. That's how we know there is no such thing as purgatory. There is no in-between. There is no soul sleep. When we leave this body, we are present with the Lord. Praise God. Jesus in John 11:26, let's look what he said to Martha. When he went to raise Lazarus from the dead, he had a little interaction with the sisters first and made this great declaration that he is the resurrection and he is the life. In verse 25, but verse 26, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Isn't that good?
Yes.
Never die. If you're born twice, you only have to die once, physically. If you're only born once, you have to die twice, physically and spiritually, the second death in hell. Jesus said, if we will live and believe in him, we will never die. That's why we can confidently get up and say at a funeral, this is just a shell. This person did not die. They just changed locations. They went from earth to heaven. And based upon this scripture and many others, we know that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Remember when Jesus took the disciples, well, let's look at it in Mark chapter 9. He took the disciples up onto the Mount of Transfiguration, as it's called, where he shone as bright as the sun, just to give them a small glimpse of his glory. And look what happened here in Mark chapter 9, verse 4. And there appeared unto them Elias with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. So if there is such a thing as soul sleep, then what does that mean? That God woke up Elijah and Moses long enough to come and have a conversation with Jesus and then sent them back to bed? No. They were already alive with the Lord. And they got to come down to earth for a few minutes and have a chat with Jesus near Jerusalem. And then look at John chapter 8. The Jews really got angry at Christ for this interaction because they kept talking about how they were children of Abraham and they were trying to accuse Jesus Christ of being born outside of wedlock, if you will. And look what Jesus said here in John 8, verse 55. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. So he says, I know him, present tense. Isn't that good? They're talking about Abraham. Well, that's literally centuries before Christ. He says, I know Abraham. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar. He says, I have to be honest and say, I know Abraham. And Verse 56, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. In other words, Abraham rejoiced in heaven to see me come to earth and become a man that I might die for sins. Verse 57, then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old. And hast thou seen Abraham? How's this possible? You're not even 50. And Abraham lived hundreds and hundreds of years ago. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Love that verse. Claiming to be the I am of Exodus chapter 3, Jehovah of the Old Testament. And look at their response, verse 59, then took they up stones to cast at him. Because he just claimed to be Jehovah. He claimed that he's been around forever. He claimed that he's met Abraham and that Abraham rejoiced in heaven to see his day. In other words, Abraham's alive. Moses is alive. Elijah is alive. And all those loved ones that we have sent on before us, they're alive. Amen? They're with Jesus. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Paul said in Philippians 1:21, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He said to die is gain. This Paul had been given a glimpse of heaven when he was assumed that he was dead after he'd been stoned, and then he just hopped up and said, let's go to the next city. I personally think he was temporarily dead, and God allowed him to have at that point a glimpse of heaven. And after that, Paul had a bit of a death wish. And he basically kept saying, I'd rather go to heaven, but I got to stay here a little bit longer for you churches. But he kept making statements like this, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. To die is to gain. To gain what? My new building. My new body. To be with Jesus. And so it's just such a blessing for us to know by faith that part of our hope is that we get a new body. We get a new building of God that's eternal in the heavens, as we read in verse 1, and that has no more sorrow, no more death, no more pain. And that God even gave us the down payment of the earnest of the Holy Spirit as a promise to say, this is real. I'm not finished with you. I'm going to come back for you in the rapture. And if you die before then, come on. Look at Acts chapter 7. Let's see what happened with Stephen. You know, when you read about Stephen, I don't know why anybody would want to be a deacon. Because he was the first deacon, one of the first deacons, and he only lived a few weeks after, and he was stoned to death. But notice it says, they stoned Stephen. Calling upon God, verse 59, sorry, I didn't give you a verse, Acts 7:59, and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Look at verse 56. Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. This is before Stephen died. He said, I see heaven. I see Jesus waiting for me. Isn't that beautiful? Because you know the Bible says Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. So that tells me that when it's time for a saint to come home, he stands to welcome them home. Isn't that beautiful? I see Jesus. I see the Son of God standing at the right hand of God. And that angered the Jews so much that it says that they had to cover their ears with their hands. They just couldn't stand what he was saying. Because he'd already preached a sermon about the truth, that they had crucified their own Savior, their own Messiah. And they had to cover their ears with their hands. And it says they cast him out of the city and they stoned him to death. And the last thing he prayed was, Lord, forgive them. Sound familiar? because he knew where he was going. Amen? Because God allowed him to see it. Right at that moment, he said, I see the heavens open. I see Jesus waiting for me. We have a building of God. Hallelujah. And to be absent from the body, the Bible says, is to be present with the Lord. And until that day comes, God wants us to keep walking by faith and not by sight, to not run our Christian lives based on our experiences and what we feel and what we think, but to base them on what we know is ahead. Amen. To keep our eyes on Jesus, keep our eyes on heaven, and live for that and not live for this. A building of God. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for these great promises. Lord, for the encouragement that you give us, that you're waiting for us, that you've given us the promise of the Holy Spirit, and that one day we get to be with you and spend forever in your presence. And Lord, may we, like John, pray daily and mean it, even so, come, Lord Jesus. And until that day, may we be faithful and walk by faith and not by sight. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. Lord, if there's someone in our service not born again, I pray that you would work a miracle in their hearts and that they would realize they must be born again. They must trust Jesus as Savior. That they would have that promise and that assurance as well, that eternal life is real and that a new body in heaven is real. Thank you, Lord. We love you in Jesus.